From the Fort Payne Church of Christ, join us now as Jimmy Holland preaches the simple gospel of Christ. And now, here's Jimmy.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning, especially those of you who are visiting with us. You are our honored guest, and we are so very thankful to have you. We are going to continue our discussion of looking forward or looking to the future. We've talked about a couple of different subjects thus far. We've talked about where we see ourselves in the future spiritually. We've talked about where we see ourselves as a congregation in the future. But I can't help but think, or when I think of the future, to think about the subject that we're going to talk about this morning. Because when it comes to looking to the future, many, in doing so, struggle with the problem of anxiety, of worry. And it doesn't matter how strong we are, it doesn't matter how hard we try, from time to time we all struggle with worry, we all struggle with anxiety. This is a subject, because of that all of us are familiar with. We know that uneasy feeling. And it truly is a problem of epidemic proportion. You see those who struggle with anxiety to the point that they completely shut down. And some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning will help us overcome that. But some struggle with anxiety to the point that, just as if they were physically ill, they need someone to help. They need a doctor to help with that. And so anxiety goes from some of the most simple cases to the most extreme. But overcoming anxiety starts with God's Word. Because God tells us, according to 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He talks about not worrying, Matthew chapter 6. Or let our hearts not be troubled, Philippians 4 in verse 6. I appreciate Garrett reading that just a few moments ago. God tells us not to worry, not to be anxious. But He also reveals how we go about doing that. Anxiousness is something that tends to sneak up on us. We really don't have to try to worry, do we? It's something that happens. This past Tuesday, Lori woke up, she wasn't feeling well, and my first reaction was that she's not getting any better, she's getting worse. And I had that sick feeling in the pit of my stomach until we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, everything's fine. And I look back and I think, whew, we're good. Everything's okay. But my question is, by worrying about it, what did I accomplish? What does anxiety, what does worry do for us? Does it help us accomplish, or does it help us make anything better? The fact is, anxiety or worry is one of the most counterproductive things that we can do. Someone says that worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but we don't go anywhere. Someone else said that worry is a fast getaway on a wooden horse. Takes up our time. It takes up our energy. But it doesn't help us accomplish anything. As Christians, how do we approach this problem? That's what we're going to spend the first half of this lesson talking about. What is this problem of anxiety? But then we're going to finish up by looking at how we overcome the problem. So let's begin by understanding the problem of anxiety. Anxiety is defined as distress about future uncertainties. This is how we define it. It's characterized by mental agitation or uneasiness. It can be mild, as I said, or it can be severe, to where someone has an anxiety attack that causes them to completely shut down, where they can't function at all. But this distress about uncertain problems, her uncertainties can be caused by real or imagined threats to our own well-being. And this is the thing about worry. It doesn't have to be a real threat. It can be something that we just think about. It can be something that we've made up, but yet it still affects us the same way. When we look at anxiety, it has three main elements. Insecurity, something bad's going to happen. Then we have the helpless feeling, this helplessness. Something bad's going to happen and there's nothing I can do about it. Then there's isolation. Something bad's going to happen. I can't do anything about it, and there's no one here to help me. These are the three main elements that make up anxiety, and they can work together or they can work by themselves. You can have one or all of these elements, but they all cause the same problems. As I said, whether these threats are real or imagined, they cause the same feelings. They cause this uneasiness, this stress that affects us the same. So what can we do about it? We know what it is. We know how we see it. We know how it makes us feel. So what can we do about it? Overcoming the problem of anxiety is something that is much easier said than done. Some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning may seem very basic, may seem cliche, but as I said before, God has the answers to life. And what He tells us, we need to listen to. So how do we overcome the problem of sin? Number one, the problem of anxiety. If I want to overcome anxiety, I need to trust God. I need to trust Him. Because anxiety or worry, if we're going to be honest, it really boils down to this. It boils down to a lack of trust in God. And I say that, and it's easy to be uncomfortable by that statement. I don't worry because I don't trust God. But the fact is, no matter who we are, no matter how strong we are, anxiety or worry boils down to that. Look at Peter for a moment. Peter is in a boat with the other apostles. In the middle of the night, in rough seas, they look out across the waves and they see Jesus walking on the water. And we criticize Peter so many times in this story because of him beginning to doubt. But what happened first? Before he began to sink, what happened? He stepped out of the boat, didn't he? Look at the faith that Peter demonstrated in that moment when he says, "Jesus, if it's you, let me come out." And Jesus says, "Come on," paraphrasing, "come on out." And Peter got out of the boat. Can you imagine the amount of faith it took for Peter to get out of the boat? Because I can tell you my reaction. I'm just kidding. You know, you get in the boat, we'll just stay in the boat. But Peter got out. In the very next moment, you go from tremendous faith to worry. He lost focus. No matter how strong we are, when we allow worry and anxiety to enter in to the equation, we lose focus. But I need to remember that God is there. Go back to those three elements of anxiety that we talked about. This isolation, this helplessness, this insecurity, something bad's going to happen. There's nothing I can do about it, and there's nobody to help me. As a Christian, we're not insecure. As Christians, we're not by ourselves. Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 4, and I want us to notice what's said in verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 16, "Let us then with confidence," some translations, the American Standard and King James have it, "let us boldly approach." "But let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Hebrew writer is telling us there in Hebrews 4 that we can confidently, no matter what's going on in life, we can confidently approach the throne of grace and find the help that we need. The proverb writer in Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 23, says, "Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." The proverb writer is saying, don't worry because God is there. Don't worry because God's going to take care of you. We are not left on our own, trying to figure it out or trying to do it by ourselves. We have security. And that doesn't mean that God's going to make sure that nothing bad ever happens in our life. Many times when we look at security in Jesus, the security in God, that's what we want. We want God to remove any negative aspect of life. We want God to make sure that nothing bad ever happens. And for those who want to claim that God doesn't exist, that's their favorite go-to argument. If God was real, nothing bad would ever happen. But God has never promised that He's going to keep every bad thing from happening in our life. Christ isn't the perfect security from the storm. Christ is the perfect security through the storm. We can have confidence that He's going to give us what we need, that He's going to be there to help us get through whatever the situation is. We're not insecure. And we're not helpless. We like to quote Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for me, who shall be against me? That's an easy passage to quote. It's a very difficult passage to put into practice. If I truly lived Romans 8:31, then worry would have no place in my life. What shall I say to these things? If God's for me, who's more powerful than my God? Because that's who I serve. That's the side that I'm on. If I truly understand that, then what do I have to fear? Psalm 27:5 says, "For in time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." The point is, He's our present help. But not only are we secure, not only do we have the help that we need, but we're not by ourselves. I like the picture that's painted in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is talking to His apostles and He gives them the Great Commission. Matthew's account tells us that He tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit. And then notice what He says in the first part of verse 20, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I want you to take on this task of going into all the world and making disciples. It would have been easy for the apostles to sit there and think, how in the world are we going to do that? Have you ever been given a task that you weren't really comfortable with or you didn't know what you were going to do? That causes a lot of anxiety, doesn't it? You know, I used to hate reports when they were in school. Reports or projects done in school. They always caused me a great deal of stress, mainly because I waited to the night before to do it. I don't know if you were that way, but I had a 600-page book that I was supposed to do a report on. I can do that tonight. But knowing that you have the tools to be successful, knowing that you have help to be successful, alleviates that stress. God says, Jesus told the apostles, "I want you to do this great thing." But He says, "I'm not leaving you by yourself. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, end of the age." Hebrews 13:5-6 says, "Keep your life free from Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? These passages remind us that we're not by ourselves. We're not alone. This past week, the kids and I were in the yard, and we have a neighbor who has a little dog named Gus, and Gus loves to chase anything and bark at it. Now, he doesn't know what to do if that thing that he's chasing stops and looks at him, but he likes to run after everything and bark at it. And I was in the driveway checking the mail, and Callie was on the other side of the yard, and Gus starts running towards Callie, and she loses it. She's running as fast as she can trying to get away from this little dog. And so I run over there to her, tell her everything's okay. Gus runs back to the yard. And I tell Callie, I said, there's nothing to be afraid of. Just look at Gus. Tell him no, and he'll leave you alone. So a little while longer, we're walking down the road, and she's right by my side, and Gus starts running at her again. And she just turns and she looks at Gus and she says, no. And then she says, I'm watching you. And Gus stops and he runs back into the yard. What was the difference between those two situations? One, she felt alone and that this dog was going to get her and there was nothing she could do about it. In the second situation, she was comfortable because she knew she wasn't by herself. There was someone there to help her. We're not alone. And so I've got to learn to trust God. And then there are some practical steps that we need to take. When I come to begin to trust God, these practical steps will follow. And it starts with the study of God's Word. You see, I can't trust someone I don't know. And it sounds cliche that if I'm struggling with anxiety or worry that I just need to read God's Word. But let us remember where faith comes from. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the more I learn of God, the more I know of God, the more I realize and truly understand that He's not leaving me alone, that He is a present help, and that He will do all of those things that we've already talked about. As my knowledge of God's Word grows, the worries of this world go away. So as cliche as it sounds, I've got to study. I've got to know God. I've got to build that relationship. Number two, be realistic. Be realistic. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, this is many times when we talk about worry, this is the passage that we open up to. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? I asked the question earlier, what does worry help us accomplish? It doesn't help us accomplish anything. There are some things in life that no matter how much we worry, we can't change. I like what Jesus asked there in verse 27, how many of us by worry can add 1 hour to our life? He asked the question later, how many of us by worry can add another cubit to our stature? You know, I wanted to be 6'4". I thought that was the perfect baseball height. I didn't make 6'4". And me worrying about not being 6'4" didn't make me 6'4". There are some things in life that we just can't change, and we need to be realistic when it comes to that. A few weeks ago, we talked about the subject of death, and that's not a pleasant subject for us to talk about, but the fact of the matter is this. Death is something that every last one of us must experience and face. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as it is appointed unto man, once to die, after this, the judgment. All of us are going to have to face that. Does worry change that?
It doesn't. Sickness is something that we will all endure. Yes, there are things that we can do to try to prevent from getting sick. But sickness is a part of life. Does worrying about that cause sickness to go away? It doesn't accomplish anything. The fact of the matter is there are certain concerns of this world. And I know that, you know, we're not supposed to worry, and so I say, I don't worry, I'm just concerned. I don't know if that changes it at all, but there are concerns that we have in this world that we can't change. So how do we approach them? We've got to be realistic. I'm not in control of this. So instead of worrying about it, instead of making myself sick over it, instead of doubting, I'm going to cast all my anxieties upon Him because He cares for me, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. I don't know to a certain extent what tomorrow holds, but I know that I serve a God that does. So I can't change that. I can't change what tomorrow holds, but I can trust that God's going to take care of me. I can be realistic. Number two, be flexible. Change is inevitable. So we must be able to adjust. We must be flexible. If you will, open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4, and I want us to notice what Paul writes in verses 11 and 12. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 11, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need." What is Paul saying there? Paul says, I've learned to be flexible. Not everything went my way. Not everything has gone my way. I go through good times, I go through bad times, but in every situation I'm in, I've learned to be content. How, Paul? Well, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Paul says we've got to be flexible. There are things that we just can't control. And if we can't bend, then we're going to break. A few years ago, Lori's uncle got a forge and invited me over, and we took a part of a leaf spring from an old Chevy truck and we put it in that forge, and we got it glowing hot, and we pulled it out and we beat on it with a hammer, and it turned it into a knife after a little while. But what happens if you're not careful, if you let that steel get too cold and you try to shape it, you try to bend it, what's going to happen? It's going to snap. We like routine. We like having things our way. I know that I do. I like to wake up the same time. I like to eat the same thing every morning. I like to do the same things every day. We like routine. But what happens is things get us out of our routine. Things throw our life in a direction that we weren't prepared for. And we don't know how to handle it. Paul says we've got to be flexible. We've got to be able to adapt. I've got to focus on the good cares and I've got to minimize the bad ones. You know, the Bible talks about cares that are good or bad. The good cares for 1 Corinthians 12:25, 2 Corinthians 11:28, Philippians 2 and verse 20. But you have the bad cares, such as Matthew 13:22, where Jesus says, "As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves unfruitful." The point is, if we focus on the things that in the end that don't matter, the unimportant concerns and cares, it's going to choke out what's most important. We tend to say we major in minors. We focus on things that really don't matter at the end of the day. If I'm going to overcome worry, I've got to focus on the things that I can change, on the things that I can control, on the good concerns, good cares, and I've got to forget the rest. This is prioritizing. What happens, or what causes stress or worry, I should say, anxiety many times, is getting our priorities out of whack. Getting our priorities out of order. You see, if I put my priorities where they need to be, life runs so much smoother, our demeanor changes, everything is better. And if we go back to the chapter that Jesus talks about when it comes to worry, Matthew chapter 6, notice what he says in verse 33. That there's really only one thing that we need to be focusing on. Seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Put the first things first and everything else will be taken care of, is what Jesus is telling us. We've got to live one day at a time. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, James tells us, the brother of Jesus, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year and trade and make a profit. If you do not know what tomorrow, but yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little time and then disappears, goes away. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself, for you are a mist that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Matthew 6:34 talks about tomorrow. Proper use of today diminishes anxiety for tomorrow. You see, right after Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you, he says this in verse 34, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The point is, take care of what you can take care of today, and then you don't have to worry about tomorrow. But we tend to procrastinate on things, and when we procrastinate, it adds stress. I made the statement earlier that I used to wait till the night before a book report or a term paper to do it. And there was a whole lot of stress involved in that. And I remember about halfway through my second semester at my freshman year at Faulkner, and I had a paper due in my Bible class. And in this class, every semester we had two term papers due, a long-term paper and a short-term paper. The long-term paper was 13 pages, the short one was 7 pages. About halfway through that second semester, I realized that if I started writing my term paper a couple of weeks early before it was due, I didn't lose as much sleep. I didn't stress out as much. But if I put off what I needed to do, what I knew I should do, that's where the stress, that's where the anxiety and worry came from. Winston Churchill once said, I lost a lot of sleep over worries that never came to fruition. I had many troubles that never came to fruition. The point is, we've got to control what we can control today, do what we should today, and then we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Stay busy. Anxiety and idleness often go hand in hand. You know, when we're busy and working, we usually don't have a lot of time to focus on worries or anxiety. Blessed is the man who's too busy during the day to work or to worry and too tired at night to worry. What does this mean for you and me? There's plenty of things for us to stay busy with. Mainly, the work that God wants us to do. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, the fields are wide unto harvest. It's still true. We worry about the future of the church. We worry about if the church is going to grow or if we can save souls, but are we doing anything about it? Are we staying busy and working? And finally, we've got to learn to be content. Paul did this. He said in verse 12, in every situation I've learned to be content. How? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, in verse 13 of Philippians 4. Learning to be content is a struggle because we live in a world that says we've always got to want something more. We have a phone that we've had less than a year. It works just fine. Well, maybe this isn't true for you. It's true for me. I have a phone that works just fine, but when the new phone comes out, guess what? I want the new phone. It's better. I've got to have it. It looks the same, it does the same thing, but yet it's got to be better. Learning to be content is a struggle. And we think that once we have everything that we think we need, that then we can be content. But that's not what Paul wrote in Philippians 4:11 through 12, was it? Paul didn't say, I had everything that I thought I needed, or I had everything that I wanted, so now I can be content. Paul said, no matter the circumstance, I've learned contentment. We stress over what, or we worry over what we don't have instead of being happy with what we do have. I like what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. We think stuff will make us happy. We think stuff will make worry go away, but Solomon, wisest man who's lived next to Christ, who had plenty of stuff, said, it won't let you sleep. We've got to learn contentment. The Christian is given the means to deal with anxiety. If we go back to what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 6, let not your hearts be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. That's the life that God wants us to live, where we're not anxious for anything, where we can walk through the valley of death and we're not going to fear anything, Psalm 23. God doesn't want us to be a slave to worry and anxiety. He tells us that we overcome anxiety by trusting Him, by following what His Word teaches. And doesn't that life sound like a much better life than one filled with anxiety and worry? Maybe your life is filled with anxiety and worry, and it's because you know that you haven't yet made the greatest decision that you can make, the decision to become a child of God. And if that's where you are this morning, I beg you not to leave here before you fix that. There's no better time than right now to give your life to Christ through obedience to the gospel, by changing or repenting of your sins, by confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and by having every sin you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ. If you've done that, but since then you've allowed unimportant things, less important things, to take priority in your life, you found it difficult to trust God, you know the changes you need to make, and you can start making them right where you sit this morning. But perhaps you need us as your forever family to pray with you, to encourage you. We're always honored to do that. If we can help you in any way this morning, please won't you come as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
We hope you've enjoyed another lesson from God's Word. We invite you to join us at our worship services at the Fort Payne Church of Christ. Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30, worship service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Visit us at our website at www.fortpaynecoc.com.
Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.